Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to another episode of Blue Collar BS. I am Brad, and my co-host is dying right now.
Oh my gosh.
As he is
trying not to make me laugh right now.
He's sitting into a coughing jag because he's got the winter cold going on.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for that.
Who are you? I'm sorry. What's your name?
Oh, my name?
Yeah.
Coughing Steve.
Coughing Steve.
Coughing Steve.
Hey, welcome back to the second winter as we are here opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, and we've got 5 inches of snow sitting here in the
I know it's been amazing. I love it. It's even like, had some, you know, some great bracket busters already happening. Fantastic.
It's like, really? Why, you know, golf last week and now it's snow. It's like,
I know, right?
Piss me off.
Just absolutely
not fun. So before the show, we started talking about different things, and I guess this episode is going to be some storytelling about some generational things. So this just happened to me yesterday. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, you can imagine. So let's set the stage. We have a family business. They have a product that they manufacture. It's a fab weld shop, you know, pick one out of the thousands that are around the country.
Right.
Family owned, mom and dad. Two sons, mom and dad are working their way out, and we're working through that transition phase of that business. And we finally had their first, we'll call it official board meeting.
Right.
They've had board meetings before, but not like a board meeting where you actually follow an agenda and talk about things and present data. So we're having this board meeting. We're going through it. The son, who's the president's doing a really good job running the agenda, making sure that he's prepared. I was very impressed with what he did. And we got to the HR section and we're talking
HR section,
the pesky HR section of the agenda. And
yep,
you know, they showed us they had 10 people leave the organization. They hired 18. So a net gain of 8. And then they got 2 and 2 this year. So net of 0. And we're like, okay, I'm like, you need to come up with a turnover, a goal that you need to have for a turnover percentage, knowing that you're going to have some. And the father of the boomer generation's like, well, I wouldn't count those in the turnover number. Some of those in the turnover number, those are some of those kids that just, they showed up one day and they didn't come back. I'm like, no,
Wait a minute.
I'm like, hang on. Wait, no, that's still turnover. If you really need them there and they were only here for a day and they left, that's still churn and turnover. And it costs you money to do that. So no, we need to have those numbers in there. And then we got into a whole conversation of younger guys, Gen Zs, younger millennials as to how they don't want to work and they don't want to follow the rules of, you know, you're here. That's, you know, we start at 6.
Six. Yep.
Start time is at 6, which means you're here at 5:30 getting ready and not walking in at 6:08 because the line at Quick Trip or Starbucks was just too long this morning. So you're in late and then all the old guys get pissed off. And it's like, oh my gosh, which led into some very interesting conversations over setting expectations and knowing what is what. And, you know, mom and dad are both like, well, the rules are the rules. And if you can't follow the rules. The funny part was is that mom and dad were late for the board meeting by 15 minutes.
Weird. Okay.
I'm like, really interesting. So we kind of turned that around. It's like, okay, what's going on here? But, you know, that conversation of setting expectations for staff members and trying to create an opportunity. And the question was asked, well, what do you need to do to make those things happen? And I'm like, well, you need to give them a sense of purpose. Help them understand why they're there every day. What value are they bringing to the organization? Show them what's it can look like and not have all of the old timers be pains in the ass to the young kids because the hazing, the treating like shit, the lack of respect is just not good.
But so let's talk about that right there. So the lack of respect from those that are experienced to those that come in late, right? Let's say you come in late or come in haphazardly or whatever it is, younger generation, all generations at some point have their moments where they, you know, days come up, but there is an assumption that there's an assumed pattern with the younger generation of coming in late and not giving a shit.
That is a very bold assumption.
Yep. And it, unfortunately, sometimes the assumptions and perceptions are reality, right?
Yeah. The reality of the person doing it, that is their own version of reality because they're not willing to have the conversation to find out.
Correct.
Right. I had another client where she has staff that is probably to the more economically challenged side. So they carpool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if the car's not ready, if you're not ready when the car shows up, you're not getting there.
Yes. Is that, do you remember the episode on Everybody Loves Raymond where he told her at a certain time, your ass needs to be in ready to go or he's leaving. Do you remember that episode? And she had her hair curler is like all caught up in her hair. And he's like, it's time and I'm out. And he left and she comes walking down the stairs because of all the other things that had happened. That's all that reminds me of right there.
Right. So at 6:58, the owner gets a text saying, hey, I'm not going to be there today. And she decided that I'm not going to play that game and I need a better answer than why I'm not there. And it was like, I didn't get out on time to make carpool. She sent somebody back to go pick him up to get him there. Cause it wasn't going to be acceptable to not show up. Right. It just is not acceptable. So we got to figure out those things, but you may have employees, hey, you're 10 minutes late. Cause daycare line was long. You don't know what those things are. You're making the assumption that up all night gaming, don't really care or whatever, but they may be the most caring individuals, but you never give them a chance.
One of the things that I have seen consistently is everybody has their moments and there may be days or times when that happens. And usually owners and people are more receptive to, we get stuff happens, but there's also trends that we're seeing where because expectations haven't been laid out in a very, I would say, clear, concise manner, and then the accountability to consistently keep on somebody where, you know, with some clients, they actually have somebody that one client in particular has somebody that's consistently showing up late. And now it's a running joke with everybody when the person actually does show up to work. And does the person stay later? Maybe a minute or two. But now it's the running joke. And because nothing's been said, nothing's been done, now you start to have disgruntled employees because now you have somebody that clearly is quote unquote stealing time from the company. And it goes back to, you know, some of the things that we were talking about pre-show is it goes back to the notion, right, of those older workers unwilling to have the mentorship or talk to and teach the younger workers, because why do I want to teach somebody that's lazy, disrespects the rules, disrespects all the other workers because they think it's okay to show up late, make light of it, and yet the owners are not holding people accountable, not holding that person accountable, and they're not talking to their employees like this isn't right. So now you have all of this. You really essentially now are starting to build a lack of trust in the organization, not just across the employees, but again, with the employees and the management team, because we're so unwilling to have those uncomfortable conversations to hold people accountable to what is established as this is the criteria, whether it's the established rule, it's criteria, whatever it is. But we're not talking for those that are, you know, the occasional offenders, it's the consistent offenders.
Correct. And usually there's a reason behind it. And so I asked the question, I said, so have you ever thought about a flexible start time? And they're like, well, we've never really done that. I said, really? Because I'm going to bet that over the 40 years of the organization that you've had guys that were of an older era that had issues that were, it was okay for them to show up 10 minutes early because the foreman would look away and say, yeah, it's okay for Billy to come in 10 minutes late. No big deal because they were part of the in crowd or part of the right group of people. But those guys over there, No. You have to follow all the rules. And there's all these double, triple, quadruple standards that are floating around out there. That's like, hey, look, you know, let's make sure we understand the rules, and we can either play by the rules, yep, or we can be good humans and figure out what's best for everybody and try to find those compromise situations, right, versus a win and a loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm actually going to a site on Monday that they've got a foreman that is very efficiency focused.
Okay.
And drives efficiency through the roof.
I mean, what's wrong with that? So what's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. I like efficiency.
Until you put safety at risk, instructions at risk.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
Put schedule that, you know, we got time. So, but we're going to get ahead of schedule without communicating why you want to get ahead of schedule, right, for the day. Right. Like today, snow day today. Okay. If you knew it was coming and you had to bust your ass on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because you knew you weren't working today. Good. But tell them that on Tuesday.
Right. Don't tell them, hey, this is, yeah.
Don't try to get, you know, 60 hours of work in a 35 hour work week because you know you're going to be off on Friday. Try to set that tone, right, up that, hey, we got a weather day coming, so let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. And there's this battle now between the old and new of what's going on, and we have siblings involved, and we've got it's a mess. It's like, yes, they've lost the trust, but the intent is to understand, set the framework as to what the expectation is. What is the company expectation? And that's from the owners, right, becoming lax and saying, hey, you guys got it. It's all good. We're going to work over here. And then it gets out of control. And now we got to roll, mm-hmm, it all back in. And the role for myself is to keep the owners on task to hold everybody accountable and get the process in place, and, right, the procedures in place. And what are you going to do to make sure that these things happened? And,
yep,
you know, what is your, we're not going on a roof policy. What is it? Is mm-hmm, it wind? Is it temperature? Is it air conditions? Is it humidity? What is it?
Right.
You tell me what your policy is so that your foreman know what it is. Foreman says, it's safe. The guys don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. There's nobody to go do anything or talk to anything about because there's nothing to have a conversation over,
mm-hmm, which is very interesting. So what else happened in this board meeting that we talked about? So we talked a little bit about the different generations, right? And we talked about, the older workers, the younger workers, those that quit. Right. And not being, you know, not really considered quote unquote turnover because they were quote unquote viewed as lazy. Right. So as we went down that path, what else happened in that meeting?
We talked about some safety issues. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got their OSHA stuff. We asked about near misses and
near misses.
What's near misses? Well, we had that conversation and I just gave up. So they work on top of platforms. They work on top of their product. They put their machines up there and, I just gave the example of, hey, you know, because the mom had asked me, what is a near miss? And I'm like, well, a near miss would be, let's say your welder's up on top and, you know, you're doing your work and somebody decides to do something and something's still chained up, but it falls off the edge, but nobody, right, got hurt, nothing. That's a near miss. And the president of the company looks at me and goes, who are you? Because they had an incident, a near miss, a week or two earlier where a bottle fell off of the cart, mm-hmm, fell probably 6 or 7 feet off the, you know, 6 or 7 feet. And it's because it wasn't chained properly. It wasn't chained at all. And
right,
somebody probably changed the, don't know all the particulars, but at the end of the day, it's lack of communication, lack of understanding, lack of accountability along the way of teaching each other about, hey, somebody, right, probably, somebody saw it. Somebody could have said, hey, make sure that's chained because they're relatively younger, newer staff members. Mm-hmm. The senior person in the area could have said, hey, make sure before you move that, you check the chains,
right,
to avoid it. It's the see something, say something mentality. And too often the see something, say something is thought of to be nitpicky and personal where you need to make it part of your culture. Mm-hmm. And hold people accountable along the way.
Right. And it's actually unfortunate because when those of us that have been on jobs for a while, we get to the point where it's just like we see that and we're like, oh, that's going to suck for them. And we just keep walking. And it's like, how are they going to learn? And sometimes, you know, you could be viewed as, you know, that asshole that keeps pointing things out, you know, because, hey, why do you keep pointing things out so they don't hurt themselves? But if you don't want me to point things out, that's fine. We'll just chalk that up as a life lesson. Yep. That's going to hurt over there. Hope they learn. Ooh, hey, come here. Let's watch this over here. Let's watch these guys over here do this. Look at how many pants are sagging. Look at that thing move. I hope it don't fall. Ooh, baby, there it goes. Should have chained that down.
It's like going to watch at a boat launch.
Yeah.
You know? Just think of all the things, how much better a boat launch could go if mm-hmm. people were there willing to help each other instead of worried about only their things and only their stuff. To say, hey, can I help you with that? Can I help you tie that down? And not have, oh, the boat came off the trailer because I noticed that the safety hook wasn't on and I'm going to watch him pull it out anyhow.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
Well, why didn't you tell him the safety hook wasn't on?
All you had to do was open your mouth and just push some some air and words, you know, move your mouth, say something.
Because, you know, the 17-year-old kid or 14-year-old kid or the 12-year-old kid who's out on the boat with mom and dad that happened to be flexible enough to be able to get down and around and be able to hook something. Yep. Well, they're busy checking, they're doing whatever. So, but you had everybody at the launch watching this happen, and nobody said
everybody watching.
Nobody said boo.
Yeah,
it's the same thing inside the workforce.
Yes,
you got to be able to talk about it. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. We were who was it? I forget who it was, but we were talking about flipping the script on that whole respect piece. If you started your career, or you were the tenured employee and you started out with, I trust and respect the company to make the right hires, and I'm going to support this person to do the right things all along the way. And you start from there versus starting from, they don't know anything, they're stupid, blah, blah, blah. The opportunity for success dramatically changes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I get to work on deducting instead of adding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. That's exactly what the older employee. Yes, the new 22-year-old kid should come in, and everybody should be, oh, hey, welcome here. Thank you very much. Cool. I can't wait to see what you can do. Let's make this happen. Here we go.
Right.
It's kind of like the court of law, right? They should be innocent until proven guilty.
You're guilty until proven innocent.
Well, that's what it's like going out to a job site and going into places, and it's just backwards. It's just wrong.
Yep.
And then we're going to complain for another decade and a half about how we can't find good people because we're too ignorant and stupid to make the changes today. Mm-hmm. Time is fucking running out.
Yes, it is.
Right? We're in 2024 and we've had the shortage for two decades, and it's still going to continue to happen. So every time we detract and deter somebody from getting into the trying something and getting in and trying to learn and become a better human to use their skill set, and we deter it because they're not like us.
Right.
It's just one more death nail in the coffin here for, and I hope they got to pay $700 to get their toilet jiggered. That's on them. That's on them for not getting anybody in there. That house call is going to cost them a fortune because they didn't want to let somebody in to understand it.
Toilet jiggered.
Leaking. They got to jigger the toilet.
Jigger the toilet. That's a new one.
You should know all about that as you've been working at mom's house.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So one of the last things that I want to just kind of highlight before we sign off today is in your story that you were telling a little bit in the pre-show, we were talking, you know, about how, you know, it's okay to let, you know, the younger generation go because quote unquote, they don't want to work, but yeah. And we want to keep the person that is extremely experienced, but might have a bad attitude or an attitude towards those younger workers. So I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, highlight that a little bit more, right? Cause as we both experienced this in whether it's working with clients, it's working in our past lives where we may have some experienced employees that, yes, they contribute, but they might do the bare min. And their attitudes may or may not be, I would say, average, right? They could go dip negative, but they're going to be, quote unquote, in general, average. So you've got an average employee doing average or below average work, just doing the things, and you're trying to rely on them to actually train and coach the younger generation coming in. And if the younger generation isn't really quote unquote fitting in or feeling like, you know, they're like they matter, and you're constantly have, you know, those employees that are experienced, they contribute average work and they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. How do you think the employees, the younger generation, actually feel when they're partnered with mentors like that?
Oh, not good at all.
Right.
Because there's no hope, because now they find out, oh, well, hey, George has been here 32 years and he feels like he's accomplished nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The 22-year-old kid doesn't want to feel that way.
Right.
They're coming, and we've talked about Maslow's laws, hierarchy of needs numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
You can scoff at it, you can laugh at it, you can do all those things at it, but it's a real thing. And it's, if you pay attention to it and work your business that way and your hiring practices that way and building out communities that give you that sense of community to start versus I think I'm going to provide you job for security, food, water, shelter, safety.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing the boat for creating an environment where all your employees are going to be wanting to get more of their friends there, more of right. their people there, because they have a sense of community, they have a sense of purpose. And been blessed to be at organizations that where those feelings existed and where that bond was there, and you mm-hmm. knew what you were striving for, and you knew what was going on. And too many of these small family businesses don't want to go down that path to really help people understand right. what their primary purpose is for every day. Mm-hmm. Here's what we do every day. What is your greater good? I'm listening to Clockwork right now from Mike Michalowicz, right? It's the Queen Bee role, QBR. What is the one thing that's important for the business that keeps things going, and how do you support that role? If right. you can get clear on that and make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of ways to do it. There's thousands of books out there about all those things. You just got to find right. what works for your company.
Yep.
But if you can get everybody focused on the same thing, life is amazing when yeah. that happens. You get an organization that people are taking accountability, they're doing what they're doing, and they make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And loyalty goes through the roof, and
it
camaraderie
does.
Goes through the roof, and turnover goes down, and productivity goes up, and you may not have to work the extra mm-hmm. hours on a Friday if you're a 4.5 work week kind of place. And
right.
yeah, noon Friday, no big deal, versus those that are going to slow it down because I need the extra 4 hours this week. No.
Come on.
So. No, because you're paying wages well above average right now
mm-hmm.
for many things. And just make sure we're paying the individual contributors well above average, but our leaders have not excelled to support the organizations, the skill levels coming in, and leaders need Ooh. To get off their butts and
learn how to
lead.
That sounds like a great topic for a new show.
Well, who knows? It might. Well, it won't be the next one because that's going to be. Yeah, that's not going to happen. It might be one that's later in June or July, but right? that's not going to happen.
Well, Brad, this is a great topic. So thank you for sharing what was going on with you and some clients, and definitely appreciate you sharing that.
Absolutely. It's important for people to hear some truths that they don't want to hear at times. And
yep.
And we just need to continue to move forward and create organizations that will thrive in a multi-generational workforce. So
right.
We just keep moving forward here. That's what Blue Collar BS is all about.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.